actual live human beings in here, besides just the handful of us that have been doing the live streams. Last time I preached, it was just the camera in here, and that is aggravating. As I'm sure Brother Jeremy could tell you, it takes a lot to get used to just speaking with a camera and one or two other people in the whole room. But it's great to be in God's house, great to see everyone here. See people I haven't seen in a long time, and see family. It's truly great. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 1. I told Brian this morning what verses I was going to be speaking out of, and I said, I'm going to start in Genesis, and he said, of course you are. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I like to preach out of Genesis, and Genesis is probably my favorite book in the Bible, and I like to connect it to the rest of Scripture, because I'm a firm believer that all of Scripture is connected, and that it's one story. It's God's story from the first page to the last. So to see the connections between Genesis and the New Testament and the Old Testament and what God has to say in the New, it gives us a fuller picture of God's Word. So this morning I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll see if we can make it to Revelation today. I'm joking. That's a joke. I'm kidding. But I do want to start talking about idols. A lot of us know what idols are. When I say that, you get a picture in your head of a little statue made out of clay or wood or something like that that people might have on a shrine. And I just want to talk a little bit about how ancient people and ancient Israelites would have thought about idols. Maybe not as much the Israelites, but the cultures around them, when they created an idol, that wasn't just a block of wood or a piece of clay. That was the physical representation of their God. When they created that idol of their God, they believed that their God came and dwelt in that idol. So when they bowed down or prayed to that idol, they legitimately felt like they were bowing down and praying to their God. A lot of times when these idols were made, they were even made with an open mouth, because the ancient people believed that their God would then breathe into this idol, and the God's presence would be there in that statue. So this morning I want you to hold that in your head. Think about idols as we look at Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, looking at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Let us make man in our image. That word image is what I want to focus on. A lot of times we think about, you know, man is made in the image of God, and we want to think about how things look. Well, that means if we're made in God's image, that means God has two arms and two legs and five fingers on each hand and two eyes. That we look like God. Some people will look at that, and we're made in God's image, thinking that we're made because we're in God's image, we have a rational mind. We're able to think and process and tell good from evil. Others will say that we're made in God's image, and that means we have we're made in God's righteousness. That when God created Adam and Eve, that they were righteous like God, and that we're the only creatures that have that rational mind or have that the look about us, or that we're made in God's righteousness. I want you to look at image in a little different manner this morning. Because you see, that word image can also be translated as idol. Just as God told Moses not to create any graven image, he also created man in his image. Just as ancient people created idols with an open mouth for their God to breathe in to that idol, God created man from the dust of the ground and breathed his life into man as his image, as his idol, as the physical representation of a spiritual God. Here on earth, we were created to be, not only were we created in God's image, but we were created to be God's image, created to be his representation. We were created to image God. We were human images, living idols, showing who God is, showing the world our God. But there was a problem. If we read on in the story, we see that Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve broke that image. Adam and Eve were still created in God's image, but it's a flawed image now. It's a flawed vessel that's showing, trying to show who God is through the cracks and through the broken parts. If you flip over to Genesis chapter 5, just flip over a couple pages. The wording of this, it's easy to skim past, but it's always stood out to me. Genesis 5 starts the genealogy from Adam to Noah. And if we look at verse 3, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and named him Seth. Just as we were created in God's image, then Adam fathered Seth in his own image, in that broken, that cracked image. Seth was still created to be an image of God. Seth was still created to be God's imager, to be that physical representation of who God is. But he was broken, just like his dad. If we read on, Enosh, Seth's son, he was still created to be God's image, but he was also broken. And over again, we read through Scripture, we see these stories of these failed images, these broken images, trying to show who God is, but failing along the way. Throughout the rest of the Bible, we have these stories of these great men and women who stand up and try and lead God's people and try and make a difference for God and trying to show who God is. But ultimately, they stumble and they fall and they fail because they're broken. We see this in Moses' life, where Moses saw God face to face, where Moses, his face shone with God's glory to where people couldn't even look at him, to where when Moses came down from the mountain, the people saw him coming down and thought, oh no, God's coming down here to wipe us out because of our sin. Where Scripture talks about God reaches out his hand and in the same breath says Moses reaches out his hand. Where God, or Moses was so close to being that image of God that it's almost interchangeable in the Scripture. Where God frees his people from Israel, from Egypt, and Moses frees the people from Egypt. But Moses still failed. Moses was still that broken image. So close, but still so broken. Then we skip ahead a few hundred years and we see King David, who's said to be a man after God's own heart. King David, who wrote so much praise and worship to God. King David, who was chosen by God to lead his people. King David, who was setting up an everlasting kingdom, but was still a broken image. Still a failure at that image. So over and over again in Scripture, we see these men, these women who are raised up to lead God's people, who are raised up to show who God is, but still they're broken. Still they're flawed. Until finally we come to the Gospel of Matthew and we're introduced to someone who is not broken. We're introduced to someone who is not flawed. We're introduced to someone who is the image of God, a true image, a true human image. We see this in Jesus. We see that Jesus is 100% God, but also 100% human. But he's more human than any of us have ever been human, because he fills that image, that true humanity, that object that humanity was created for. Jesus fills that role. Where I'm a human, but I'm a broken human. I'm a flawed human. Jesus was a human as humans are meant to be. So often in our heads, we have this disconnect between godly things and human things, between holy things and mundane things. But if we really look at how humanity is supposed to be, when we are more acting more like God, that's when we are more human than ever. When we're running from God, when we're chasing after these other idols, when we're chasing after these other things, we've not only lost our connection with God, but we've lost our connection with how humanity is supposed to look. So this morning, I want to challenge you to a new way to be human. Flip with me once more to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. It wasn't too long ago that Brother Jeremy was preaching through this book. But Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put the old self with it. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. When Christ came, not only was he the perfect image of God, but he opened the door to where we can regain our humanity. We can regain that image of God. We can once again, he can take our brokenness and fix that and show who God is through us. But that takes putting away the old one, putting away that broken image, being renewed and becoming that new image after our Creator. So what is that old broken image? Paul gives us a picture of it here, starting in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Not what is human in you. Not what is man in you. Not what is person in you, but put to death what is earthly in you. Adam was made from the dust of the earth, And Paul's saying, when you're acting contrary to God and contrary to God's will, you're just a pile of dirt. You're not human. So put to death what's earthly in you. Put to death that dirt in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. But in these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Paul gives us this list of things that is earthly. This list of dirt that we live our lives in, that we've rolled around in, that we've covered ourselves in. And he's saying, put that away. Put that off. Put that to death. And become the human that you're meant to be. So what does the human look like? If we read on, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul paints us a picture of what is earthly. Paul paints us a picture of the dirt. But then Paul also paints us a picture of what a human image should look like. Paul paints us this picture of what we should be imaging as God's people, as God's children, as God's image. This is what people should see in us. It's not a physical image of, oh, God has a long beard and God has a big nose and things like that. But it's a spiritual image of showing his character through who we are. Just as for those other cultures in this time period, those idols were a physical representation of who their God was. We as God's idols, as God's images, we should be his body. That sounds familiar. Paul talked about that somewhere else also. Calling us the body of Christ. Christ isn't sitting here physically in the pew, but you're sitting here physically in that pew, in that chair, wherever you may be. So you should be the physicalness of God. You should be the image of God. So that when people look at you and look at your life, when people look at me and look at my life, they should see that's who Jesus is. That's Yahweh's character right there. But more often than not in my own life, I know I'm still showing that broken image. I'm still showing people my brokenness more than I'm showing God's image. Verse 11, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. If we're going to live in God's image, if we're going to portray God's image, there's no room in our life for this dirt. If we're going to be portraying who God is, there's no room in our life for that list of things that Paul wrote out. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. There's no room for that anymore. There's no room in our lives for injustice. There's no room in our lives for racism. There's no room in our lives for nationalism. There's no room in our lives for this sin anymore. If we're going to be God's image, we have to put that to death. So my question for you this morning, my challenge for you this morning is, are you human? Are you showing a true humanity? Or are we broken humans with cracks and failures? I'm not saying I've got it all figured out and I'm the perfect image of God. Never once will you ever hear me say that. But are we striving in our lives to put to death that dirt, to wash off that earth off of us, and be the humans that God created us to be? It's my hope and it's my prayer that as you walk out these doors, as you log off your computer, however you're here, you're watching, it's my hope and it's my prayer that you'll be human today. As we go back to work, back to school, wherever we may go, that we are true humans. Brother Vince.